This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a good afternoon. This is WKAR 870 AM Sports Talk with Earl Robinson. Earl will be in just a moment here. He had to step out just for a moment, but nonetheless, he will be here. On the docket today, we got Scott. To be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure what we're going to be talking about, but I'm assuming it's going to be football or basketball related. And also at 1:20, we're going to have Dave Burkett calling in and his thoughts as well. So Earl will be in shortly. So in the meantime, you know, there's a lot going on in the sports world. Obviously, the Big Ten basketball season has started. Unfortunately for Michigan State, it has not gone well so far. 0-1 against Minnesota the other night. So hopefully they can rebound coming up soon. I believe their next game is against Purdue. So hopefully they're going to pull out a win there. Obviously, Michigan State won their bowl game this year as well. So that's always a good thing. And let's see what else is going on in the sports world. Well, there's Michigan State hockey. There's Detroit Pistons. Well, the Lions. Well, we don't have to talk about the Lions anymore, thank God. So that season is over for them. Hopefully they can have a good, a draft. A lot of people are expecting them to have a good draft. We'll see if they can draft another great player. Unfortunately, we'll have to see if they can actually pay a top-tier player. That's something that I think is going to be a problem for them. They've drafted so high so many years in a row. I'm not sure if they can actually, actually pay these guys the money that they're actually paying them. So we'll have to see about that. In the meantime, apparently Earl is still taking his time, but he will be here shortly. That is for sure. Other sports news. Michigan basketball is doing well as too. And as Earl walks in the door and he is now sitting down and putting on his headphones. So, Earl, welcome to the show, Earl.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you welcomed me in. I have another number for you to call. So let me give you that one. And we'll do 377-1087. Okay, and the other one was good. So we're going to start talking with Scott Yashonis from the Lansing State Journal, talking about girls' high school basketball, which has been we've had some pretty good games this year and some very interesting games, and we'll talk with him about girls' high school basketball in the mid-Michigan area. Give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870, and then we're going to talk about the Detroit Lions. I know that's a rough subject. 4-12 this year. Lost 10 in a row. That was pretty tough, pretty rough stuff for the Lions. But they made it through it somehow. They didn't do it very well. They made some big mistakes, but we'll talk about them later on. Right now, let's talk with Scott Yashonis from the Lansing State Journal and talk a little bit of girls basketball. Scott, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Earl. How are you?
Okay. I know we haven't talked lately, and as I told you, I've been under the weather, so you got to bring me up to date here on girls high school basketball. I know we've had some pretty good games, East Lansing is still the best team in the area. What are some of the other teams in the area that are pretty good?
Well, there are a couple of teams. Eaton Rapids had a couple of big wins. They beat a very tough Portland team over the break in their holiday tournament. DeWitt is shown to be a pretty darn good girls basketball team, and one of the teams I'm going to see tonight, Grand Ledge, they put together a pretty nice year. They're going to be playing Waverly, who's a traditionally strong program, but they're undergoing just a little bit of a down year for them. And so this could be the year that Grand Ledge beats Waverly in girls basketball for the first time. I don't know how long. It might be decades.
Yeah, do we have many girls with some size this year, or are they all relatively on the small side? I mean, we haven't had a lot of big girls playing girls basketball recently?
Well, not the big dominating center types, but there is quite a lot of size. I mean, Eaton Rapids, as I said before, they have quite a lot of size at all the positions on the court. So they're going to be very tough to match up to most teams. Again, there aren't really any dominating post players that I've seen yet. I mean, this is still early in the season, so if I've missed one or two, I apologize. But there really aren't that kind of dominating post presence that we've seen in the area in the last few years.
As far as the boys, is Sexton still the most dominant team in the area, or is anybody up for challenging them?
Well, they lost quite a lot in graduation. I mean, they're still a very, very tough team, very well coached, as we all know, with Carlton Valentine. But they're going to have a tough time winning the blue title this year. Holt is putting together a nice run. Okemos is another very tough team. This is going to be a dogfight. It's not the last couple of years where it was Sexton's to lose. It's going to be they're going to be any one of three or four teams to win that league.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about Holt. Tell me a little bit about Holt. What makes them so good?
Well, they have a very good nucleus of talent. I saw them beat Waverly in the first game of the season. It was a close game. They had to come back, and they really have a lot of not. They don't have any superstars per se, mm-hmm. but they have quite a lot of talent at all positions. They're really tough to defend. And they're battle tested. I mean, they went through kind of a tough year last year, and that kind of was a bit of a baptism of fire for them. And so they could do some serious damage in a tournament this year.
So we still got a pretty good representation of a lot of very good teams in Mid Michigan, huh?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There are quite a lot of good basketball. There may not be the same sort of dominant state rank kind of deep into the tournament teams, but there's a lot of good basketball being played in the area this year and in a lot of different places. And if you want to go see some good basketball, just about every Friday night, every Tuesday and Friday night, there's going to be a game that'll be very interesting to watch.
I talked to the Owosso coach a little while back. He's very confident about the team he has this year.
Yeah, they seem to be doing very well. I haven't seen them play yet. But they've picked up some pretty tough wins. They're in a league that's really kind of dominated in recent years by Hazlitt and DeWitt. But they're going to do some damage.
So we've got a lot of good basketball in the area, and how is it working out? I know I talked to. With our guests from the MHSAA, how's it working out with when the girls play first and the boys play second? How has that been working out?
Well, it's really kind of a mixed bag. The fear was going into this year that people would come to the boys' games and leave, and it would be kind of disruptive to the girls' games because they're going second, and it would be kind of almost insulting to the girls that, you know, have people leaving during their warm-ups. And in some cases, that's been the case. I mean, at those schools that don't have a tradition of girls' basketball. Some do, though, and I'm seeing quite a lot of people sticking around for those second games, and which is a good thing because there's a lot of very, very good girls' basketball being played, too. And really, if you just go to the boys' games and then leave, that's your loss because there's a lot of good girls' basketball being played this year.
And that's good that we see more that more and more girls and more people are paying attention to girls' basketball and watching girls' basketball. I know for all the years I've been covering, and anytime I would mention it, I get this blank look in my mm-hmm. in the face, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now it looks like guys are finally starting to come around and appreciate girls' basketball.
Well, it's funny because, you know, the when you talk about, say, the WNBA, for instance, you know, the kind of women's basketball at the very upper level of the sport, they play the kind of basketball that you used to see in the men's game. I mean, back in the day, George Mikan was a freak as a center. You know, it was everything was below the rim. It was all about guys like Kuzi and Havlicek and Elgin Baylor and those kind of guys. I mean, that's the ball handling, the movement of the ball. That's the kind of stuff that you see at the top level of women's and girls basketball. And to me, I mean, it's like small ball in baseball. You know, either you like it or you don't. And I like it.
Yeah, I do too. So, and it's good that that guys are finally starting to appreciate. I used to just wonder how long it would take for guys to really understand and appreciate girls basketball. Because most of the guys that I talk to, they say, "Well, they don't dunk," and that's the only thing they could ever mention was that the girls can dunk. I kept telling them there's a lot more to the game than just dunking.
And especially when we're talking about high school basketball, really not a lot of guys can dunk either.
That's true.
There's not a lot of dunking in high school basketball. It is, and among the boys, the best teams are the ones that are the well-coached teams, the ones that can move the basketball and play as a team and do all the fundamental things right. Mm-hmm. And just the same as the girls. You know, I mean, another criticism that I've heard of girls basketball is that girls aren't as fast as the guys,
right?
And so you don't see that. But you don't see a lot of showtime in high school basketball, even in the boys,
right?
So really, if you watch the game, maybe it's a little bit slower, but not really to the point, in my opinion, where it detracts from the entertainment value of watching good basketball being played.
Yes, I know. If you go watch, and I've gone and seen several girls' games, and they're very entertaining and very good. And I just wish more guys would go and watch them. I think they'd certainly be entertained, and they would like the product they see.
Well, if you like basketball,
mm-hmm.
if you're a basketball fan,
yes,
there's plenty to like in a girls' basketball game at the upper level. The main difference in my eyes is that there are quite a lot of the lower end girls basketball programs are a lot worse than the lower end boys basketball programs. That is to say, if you get a blowout in a mismatch in a girls basketball game, it's usually quite a bit more pronounced.
Yes, it is.
Than in the you see a lot of running clock in girls basketball, which is a shame. But you know what? This is the kind of thing that's going to help that. I mean, if the more attention is given to girls basketball, the more girls get involved in basketball at a younger age, that gap is going to close gradually. And that's really the reason why they did the season switch. I mean, or one of the reasons why they switched the seasons was because they wanted to make girls basketball. They wanted to erase the impression of it being a second class sport. Of it being kind of an add on or an afterthought. Girls basketball is really at the upper level getting better. And what they need now is to get more girls involved to make some of the lesser programs more competitive.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope we'll see a lot more of competitive girls basketball. Hey, Scott, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And
my pleasure.
And I'll talk with you again sometime. And we'll hook up. Well, we haven't seen each other at a game yet. We'll be hooking up at a game soon.
I'll look for you, Earl. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks a lot, Scott.
Yep.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye. And it's Scott Yashonis from the Lansing State Journal. The time now, 20 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Over the years, diplomatic correspondent Mike Schuster took us into the deliberations of the Security Council, to Berlin at the fall of the wall inside Iraq during the worst of the war, to Israel during conflicts with the Palestinians and with Hezbollah, and through every step of the still-growing tensions with Iran. I'm Neil Cunningham, an exit interview with NPR's Mike Schuster, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Cloudy and scattered snow today with a high of 28 degrees. Tonight there's a slight chance of snow, the low in the mid-teens. Tomorrow windy and mostly sunny with a high of 32. Mostly sunny and a high in the low 30s Saturday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR in East Lansing. Well, let's talk a sport that everybody, just about everybody loves. Not, I know not everybody loves it, but just about most people love it. And that's the sport of football. And unfortunately, well, the Detroit Lions had a down year. I guess that shouldn't be a surprise, but it is this year. And we've got our good friend Dave Burkett in from the Detroit Free Press. And Dave, I know we talked about at the beginning of the year, we were sort of optimistic at the beginning of the year, but are you as surprised that the season went as far south as it did this year? I had him on and I blew it there. I knocked him off, so my bag. My fault there, as I knocked our good friend Dave Burkett off. As we had talked about that, the Lions at the beginning of the year, and we struggled. I know I struggled following them. I didn't think they would be great or anything like that, but I thought they would be decent. I thought they had a chance to make the playoffs. So let's bring Dave back in. Sorry, Dave, didn't mean to cut you off there, buddy.
That's all right,
Hey, were you surprised the Lions had such a bad year, or were you not so surprised? I know we had talked about a little bit about it at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, no, I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs this year. I thought they'd take a minor step back, but no way did I see 4-12. I mean, that really, it's a shock to the system. I think the way that it happened, to lose 8 straight, and some of the regressions, Matthew Stafford, I guess in particular, I don't pin everything on him by any means, but he didn't take the step forward that myself and a lot of people anticipated this year.
Yeah, I mean that was a surprise, and of course I know they didn't do anything to replace Jahvid Best, and they certainly could have used a replacement for Jahvid Best. Do you think they probably should draft a bigger, stronger running back this year coming up?
Well, I think they need not a bigger, stronger running back. I think they got two guys in that mold, and LeSure and Drake Bell. I think they need a speedy guy, somebody who can be a home run threat, who can stretch the field, who's an option out on the perimeter. I think that's where they really lacked. And Martin Mayhew said that yesterday when he sat down with the beat writers. He said that his biggest failing of this past offseason was not getting insurance for Jahvid Best, because that's something that he thought that Jahvid was going to be cleared to come back, and really the whole organization did, and it was a little bit out of their control. It was up to some independent neurologists, but the fact that they didn't get him back, their offense was really at a loss without him.
And what about Titus Young? Is he going to come back, or is that still a big question mark?
Yeah, I mean, Martin, if the Lions haven't closed the door on that, I'd still be a little bit surprised if it happened. I think Titus has burnt most of the bridges that he had here. Jimmy Schwartz, Scott Linehan, his teammates, I don't know how they can trust him anymore after what went on this year. And I thought it was pretty telling yesterday. John Neal from the news asked, we were talking about Titus for a few minutes, and John asked Martin, he said, does Titus want to come back? And Martin said, well, he hasn't said that he doesn't want to come back yet. So, take that to mean whatever you want, but I took it to mean that he hasn't said he wants to come back either. So I think Titus is, I think it's best, it's in the best interest of both parties that they move on.
Yes, I mean, when you look at Titus Young and when we've watched him play, I mean, he's a good receiver, but he doesn't seem like he's a great receiver or a breakaway receiver or anything like that. He just seems like he's an adequate, pretty good, okay receiver.
Yeah, I mean, he's real talented. We saw glimpses of that in the preseason and the offseason. I don't know that he's ever going to be anybody's number one, but I do think he'd be extremely valuable to this team if they could get him back on the field. It doesn't appear like that's going to happen, or it doesn't appear like that would be in the best interest of the team right now, just with everything that's gone on with him.
Now, what about that offensive line? We had talked about that all year long. Is that a good position? Is that look like that's going to be a position of strength this year?
I think that's one of the question marks that they have. I think offensive line, defensive line, defensive backfield, I think those are probably some of the biggest question marks coming back because, you know, you don't know exactly what's going to happen with that right now. Guys are careless, a free agent. You know, I think the Lions would like him back. He's still young enough that he can be a cornerstone for them, but they need to get Riley Reiff in the lineup somewhere. You know, it sounds like Jeff Backus might want to come back. He hasn't come out and said that, but, you know, he's finishing up 12 years, and he's had a lot of injuries recently. He's got 1 year left on his contract, so I don't think it would surprise a whole bunch of people if he retired, too. And, you know, and Martin said this yesterday, they had some problems on the interior of their line and pass protection this year. So I think you could see a little bit of a shakeup there. Bill Nagy, who they claimed off waivers back in August from the Cowboys, former Wisconsin guy, he could be in the mix somewhere. They want to get Jason Fox on the field. So as much as continuity has been important to that group in the past, it's a unit that could see more new faces this year.
Well, we know how poorly the special teams were this year. What are the problems that were? How are they going to correct some of that special teams problems this year?
Yeah, that was. I mean, you know, I think you're going to probably be looking at a new return man next year, both in the punt and kick return game. They traded for Mike Thomas, who can handle some of those punt duties. You know, you got a guy like Ryan Broyles, who can handle some punt return duties. That might be a place that they look at in the draft if they take another wide receiver. And we all know that Martin loves his wide receivers, so that's something that they could do. And, you know, the coverage units, you know, Earl, I will say this. Look, they were awful beginning of the year. They gave up those four touchdowns, and that's really the reason they lost two of those September games. But after the bye week, they really started covering the ball better, and they re-signed Ashley Palmer, who was one of their key special teams guys. So I think the coverage units got better, but they still need to get a punter, and they still need to do something about that return game.
Yes, we know one thing that is consistent, and that's the kicking game. I mean, our kicker has been one of the best in the league for about 20 years. I mean, he's really good. How long do you see him continue to kick?
Yeah, you know, that's another one of these wild cards, and we're talking about all these wild cards. They got, you know, they got 23 free agents this year, and Jason Hansen's one of them, and I think that's why there's so much uncertainty and why this is going to be such a big offseason, and they have so little cap room to spend. But, you know, I talked to Jason Hansen the last week of the regular season a little bit. He said he hasn't decided on his future yet. He said it's something that he'll sit down sometime in the next couple months and with his family and kind of figure out what he wants to do. He was the oldest player in the NFL this year. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise anybody, kind of like we talked about with Backus earlier, if he wanted to walk away from the game. He's accomplished enough. But I think, you know, if he wants to come back, there's a place for him on the Lions. It's just something that, you know, probably has to happen before the draft or before free agency.
What do you think they'll be looking for in the draft? I mean, now we've heard a lot about, of course, about the Notre Dame linebacker. But what do you hear about in the draft and what they might be looking for in the draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously too early to tell specifics, but, you know, playmakers on defense is really what they're after. You know, Martin made no secret about that yesterday. He said they really lacked that on the back end of the defense. He said they really, you know, struggled creating turnovers this year. And I think that can be attributed to the cornerback play, also to the defensive line play. And when you're picking in the top five, you have an opportunity to get a defensive playmaker. And I think, you know, especially when you look at this year's draft, there's a lot of defensive linemen that could factor into the mix for the Lions up top.
Boy, that would be good if they can pick up a quality playmaker. That would surely help the Lions because that's the thing. They need a lot of help, don't they? I mean, at the beginning of the year, we thought that they were pretty well set on offense and defense, but now it looks like they just need a lot of help, don't they?
Oh, without a doubt. And like I said, the big thing is, you know, with 23, you know, free agents and so many of their starters from this year on defense, free agents, you know, you don't know exactly what that roster is going to look like. And they have a chance to get a few guys up high in the draft that I think should be able to help them. But you look at the offense, they need some help there, too. They need, we mentioned it already, a replacement for Javid Best. They probably need another receiver, depending on what happens with Titus Young. And then offensive line, you know, you can never get enough protection up front there either.
Yeah, what about the other receiver that they drafted out of the second round out of last year?
Coming off an ACL, so
okay.
You know, now he's Brian Broyles. He's
yeah.
Done, you know, throwing the ACL on both of his knees now. So
oh boy.
I think that you can't expect, you know, he came back this year. He was back in the mix by the end of the season. But, you know, I don't know if how much you want to count on a guy with two shredded knees going forward.
Well, that is tough when you have two ACLs, and it just seems like there were just a lot more injuries this year. I know the Lions and everybody in the National Football League, they're really trying to be more careful with players. But did it seem like to you that there was a lot more injuries? Even though I know everyone was taking extra precautions on trying to keep guys healthy.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I saw a stat the other day that the number of players on injury reserve this year was about the same as it was last year, a little bit higher, but down from 2010, I think it was, when it was the all-time high. So, you know, that's a part of the game. It's a fact of life in the NFL, and it just so happened to hit the Lions at one position in particular, a few positions in particular this year, receiver and defensive tackle, and those are positions that they thought they were pretty deep on coming into the year. And so when you already have depth concerns elsewhere and then you lose, you know, a lot of the good depth that you do have, you know, I think that leaves you in a little bit of a bind.
Boy, it certainly does. When you look at the Lions, and hopefully next year they can bounce back. I mean, they just had so many injuries this year, and so little lack of depth. I know everyone is hoping that the Lions can bounce back from last year, and you know, come back and have a good year this year. How much do you plan on that, hoping that a lot of it is just hope? Can the Lions just bounce back and have a good year from having an off year last year?
Well, I mean, I think the that's why the organization has kind of decided to stay the course here, you know, because they believe in the people that are in charge, and Martin Mayhew and Jim Schwartz, and you know, think that you know, they deserve another chance to get this right. And you know, I think with some of the top end talent that they have, Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, you know, that's a pretty good foursome right there. And I think there's a lot of teams that would envy those players as your cornerstones of a roster. So, you know, they have a lot of holes to fill. There's no doubt about that. At 4-12, you know, you're obviously not a good team, but you know, I think the fact that they have those playmakers back, if they can supplement that, if they can add one or two to that, if they can, you know, get a guy like Cliff Averill back, you know, keep that receiving core healthy, and then this team could be back in the playoff hunt next year.
Yes, you know, that's one thing. I know we didn't hear a lot about it, but the Lions had signed, Martin Mayhew and Jim Schwartz to next year, gave them a four-year deal. A lot of people didn't realize that they did that early on, and I guess a lot of people were surprised that they ended up signing both those guys. Were you surprised that they gave them a deal like that?
Well, we don't know what Martin's contract is exactly. You know, Jim Schwartz got an extension last summer that took him through up to 2015. And, you know, that bought him a little bit of security, obviously. You know, Martin has always been quiet about his deal, and there's only a few people within the organization that know. You know, I don't know exactly how much longer he has left on it, and he wouldn't talk about it when I asked him yesterday. So, but, no, you know, I think, you know, Jim Schwartz deserved a contract extension coming into the year. You couldn't let him be a lame duck coach heading into the season.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that it was so long, I think that tells you what the Lions thought of him.
Hopefully he can bounce back from last year. I mean, that caught everybody by surprise, having a 4-12 year. So hopefully they'll come back and they'll have a good year. And you know, that'll definitely make a very good impression on the Lion faithful that they can bounce back, because we've seen so many years, good years and bad years, and it's been very disappointing with the Lions, unfortunately. As you know, I've been around there for a long time, and we've seen some good years and a lot of bad years. And we had the good Barry Sanders years, and then we had a lot of beers that were so-so years. So hopefully the Lions can bounce back and just have a few good years, not just one good year, but a few good years.
They're, you know, if they don't, they risk doing Calvin Johnson like they did, you know, Barry, with his kind of individual talent gets squandered a little bit. And you know, that's unfortunate. I mean, I think the Lions have made strides, obviously, from when Calvin first got to town. You know, the fact that they had to go through 0-16 to get here, nobody was happy about. And you know, quite frankly, if this happens again, nobody will be happy about it again. But yeah, you know, Calvin's a guy that's getting out there. You know, Matt's going to be 25 next year, so he's still got a few prime years left. And I think the Lions you know, in the NFL, windows of opportunity are small, and the Lions need to take advantage of them.
How many guys do you expect they'll sign? They've got, what, 25 are free agents or 23, you said? How many of those guys do you think they'll that they'll re-sign again?
Well, you know, some of those guys are lower-end guys, back-of-the-roster guys. I mean, you know, I think just from, you know, roster standpoint, you could probably expect, you know, 10, 12 of those guys back in camp at the very least. You know, I think they're going to have some pretty significant turnover on the roster, but, you know, they're not going to have a lot of money to spend either because they're up against the cap. They have to redo Matt Stafford's deal, and I think that'll get done before free agency to give them a little bit of spending room. But you think about it, you know, you need to get one or two starting linebackers. You need to get a top-end pass rusher. You need to get a cornerback, a safety. So, you know, that chews up basically all that money that you have right there.
Yes, because that's the thing. A lot of those guys have to spend a lot of money. I mean, Ndamukong Suh, they'll have to give him a pretty good contract. Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson eventually will get one. And even though the salary cap has gone down, those guys will still get pretty good to significant contract, won't they?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, those guys are already making pretty good money. And, you know, when Stafford and Sue came in as with big rookie deals under the last, CBA, there's not much that the Lions can do about their cap number. And, you know, those three, Stafford, Sue, and Calvin, take up about $50 million of the projected $121 million cap next year. So, you know, that's a lot of money to have sunk into three players. And that's why it's important for the Lions to hit on some of these draft picks, both up top and in the middle of the draft.
Boy, yes, because that's a lot. I mean, just three guys tying up $50 million, that's a lot of bread tied up among three guys. I mean, you really have to have really three superstars, and I mean really superstars when you only have that much money tied up in three players.
Yeah, and you know, they think that all three have the potential to be, but obviously, you know, Calvin was the only one who played like that this year. You know, Sue, he was pretty steady, and I thought he had a pretty good year. But, you know, he still wasn't quite up to his rookie-level form. And with Stafford, you know, like I said, it was a little bit of a setback year, but no one has given up on him as the quarterback of the future for this franchise.
Yeah, now, what did you see? What happened with Sue? Why couldn't he even come close to being like he was during his rookie year? It just seemed like his last couple of years have been just so-so years.
Well, you know, I think this year was better. Last year, I think you could definitely say that. He took a little bit of a step back. And, you know, this year, I think he kind of corrected himself. And, you know, he had the second most sacks among defensive tackles in the league. So that's something that he deserves credit for. The splash plays there like they were his rookie year. And I think that's where he still needs to do better at. But, you know, I think he did. You know, he might deserve a little bit of credit for the way that Nick Fairley developed, too, because Fairley had a pretty good season when he was healthy. He came on a little bit, and I think that's a pretty good 1-2 punch that they have in the middle of their defense.
Yeah. So which way do you think they'll go when the draft comes around, offense or defense?
You know, again, Earl, I
don't know.
It's hard really to tell. I mean, I think, you know, defense, there's some pretty good, you know, pass rushers at the top of the draft, and that'd be a good place to look. Texas A&M has a guy, Demontre Moore. Georgia has a guy, Jarvis Jones, but he's got some medical issues, and, you know, I think all that stuff will, you know, from a Lions standpoint, aside from the scouts who go look at those guys every week, you know, the organization they don't get into the draft stuff quite yet. So that's something that'll play out over the next couple months.
Okay. Hey, Dave, it's always good talking with you, my friend. And you give us a lot of good information about the Lions. I certainly appreciate it, buddy.
No problem, Earl. Anytime. Have a happy new year, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okie dokie. Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. Okay.
Yep,
we'll bye-bye. Yep, and that's Dave Burkett talking sports with us, talking Detroit Lions football right here on AM 870 WKAR. It's 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Catlin Moran ventured into uncharted territory. She wrote a laugh-out-loud book about feminism and the disconnect between image and reality.
Women's existences are completely different to what they're projecting or what they're willing to talk about, and that's absolutely bizarre.
I'm Neil Conan. Catlin Moran, How to Be a Woman, one of the books we missed. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A cloudy day today with scattered snow, our high 28 degrees. There's a slight chance of snow tonight. Look for a low of 15. Friday will be windy and mostly sunny with a high of 32. For Saturday, we'll stay in the low 30s and it'll be mostly sunny. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's go to the phones, and we've got Tom on the line. Tom, how you doing?
Good afternoon, brother. How are you doing today?
Hey, doing good, buddy.
Hey, I called, I just missed your guest, but the main reason I wanted to call was to offer my condolences to the WKAR family. I just read about the passing of Jim Adams. And,
yes.
As you might remember, I was one of your first callers when you and Jim had your show, and his presence is missed, and he's a great Spartan. So everybody should give him a tip of the hat. Speaking of which, I have my Jim and Earl hat that I'm going to break out, dust off, and start wearing again to remember Jim and his passing.
Yeah.
Here's the question that I would have passed on to your guest that just left. And it has to do with Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like one of these guys that signs a big fat contract and then gets lazy. A number of times I saw him this year, he looked like he was fat, out of shape, and hadn't been really honing his skills. I wanted to see if you thought the same thing. He just looked lackluster and lazy after signing a big fat contract. That's usually your biggest fear, that they lose some of their dedication to the game. So I'll hang up and take your response off the air.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tom. Yes, I'm not sure how lazy he was, but he still had that strong arm. We saw him throw a lot of cannons, that's for sure. But was he lazy? Was he dedicated enough to his craft where he seemed to get better? And that's the thing. I don't think he was that dedicated as he should have been to his craft. I mean, maybe he was, but he certainly didn't look like it. And I would question his question and his you know, was he really dedicated and a better quarterback this year? He certainly didn't look like it. So I just have to wait and see how next year he does, because he better show up next year. I mean, he was really, as you know, he was pretty average this year. He had a lot of good passes, and he threw some very good passes, but he threw a lot of passes he just didn't throw well. And, you know, they were up for grabs, a lot of passes. So hopefully he will improve and be a lot better next year, because he certainly was awful this year. And he was very poor, and he just took a lot of passes and just didn't complete them. And that was unfortunate. And the Lions are going to need him next year, and they're going to need more help for Calvin Johnson. I mean, they're going to need Nate Washington to play for the whole year. They're going to need him play. You know, they're going to need Ryan Broyles, the second-round draft pick, to come back. Hopefully can come back and play again and play a good year. So they're going to need guys who have been hurt. Can they come back and bounce back and be healthy? And you're always going to need that. So hopefully those guys can come back and play strong and have good years. So we'll have to look at that and just look at them heavily and examine them. Can they come back and be good, productive players? That we don't know. We hope they will be, but that's the problem. Can they be good, productive players? So I guess we'll see how that goes and how that ends up this year. Now, what do you say when we look at the Lions this year? How do you evaluate the Lions?
Well, I mean, they were 4-12, so I think from a record standpoint, obviously that's not good. I mean, if you break it down, I guess from an overall standpoint, besides Calvin Johnson, you know, I think we've all can agree that, frankly, he was the only one that, you know, stood out to what his potential was. Sue, he had a good year, but it wasn't nearly as great as maybe what, you know, he has the potential to be. And as you just pointed out, Stafford, you know, for whatever reason, there were times he had great games.
Yeah.
But for the majority of the times, he just had okay games, good games. You know, he wasn't playing to his potential. And the caller, I think, I don't know if he was lazy per se, but I just don't think he was he just wasn't accurate this year.
Something was just off
for him. Mm-hmm. And part of that maybe was, you know, due to the fact that they had so many injuries at the wide receiver position. Broyles, obviously Young wasn't an injury, but, you know, team issues. You know, obviously he was able to connect with Johnson quite a few times. Pettigrew, numerous times, just dropped it. But, you know, part of that, too, is, again, Stafford. He just wasn't on his game. You know, they didn't have a great running game. I thought Bell and LeSueur did actually a pretty good job of coming in as needed. LeSueur, I think, had close to 1,000 yards this year. So, you know, he did a pretty decent job. And they kept it pretty balanced on the offense. So, and on the defensive side, you know, Delmas was hurt quite a bit. That defense is completely different when he's in there. But he was injured on and off this year, so he just was never able to get into a groove. The linebackers, you know, it's always hard to tell how good a linebacker is, especially when your cornerbacks aren't that great. Houston, I think, actually had a pretty good season. But, you know, so overall, no one besides Johnson, no one just stepped up and no one just stood out. So they have a lot of work to do, as Dave pointed out in the offseason. They have a lot of holes to fill. They have 23 free agents. I don't know what they're going to do with.
Yeah, they got to re-sign at least half of them, I would say, around half of them. I know a lot of them are lower-end guys, so they might get some of those guys back on the cheap.
Yeah, you know, and Hanson, that, you know, depending on what he does, that's going to be a huge, if he decides to retire, that's a huge hole to fill. Kickers aren't easy to come by as they used to be anymore. You know, so, you know, they got a lot of question marks, and they, if they play the cards right and get the draft right, they can come into the season with a great team. But if they don't, it could be another 4-12 season or even worse. So, but I expect, you know, Stafford, I expect Fairley, I expect Sue, those guys to really work hard in the offseason to come back and be what they were drafted to be, you know. And, you know, as we saw in Stafford's, I don't know if it was his rookie season where he broke his arm, or against Cincinnati or Cleveland, whoever it was, and he came in and he threw the winning touchdown. You know, it's that kind of sort of heart that people expect from him, and sort of, you know, a vigor from him. So same thing with Sue. So they have a lot of work to do, but, you know, I expect that they've learned from their mistakes, and everyone – including the organization, will do the right thing, and they'll be ready to rock and roll 2013 season.
Yeah, that's the thing. How good can they be? I mean, that's the thing. We don't know how good can this team be. They've got a lot of players that have potential and have very good potential, but we just don't know how good they can be for the whole year. I mean, if they have another year like this year, a lot of people will just, you know, will lose interest in them. I mean, that's the thing with the Lions. I mean, they've lost interest. I mean, somehow they've been able to keep interest in the fans during the years. No matter how bad the years have gotten, the Lions fans, they really stick by them. I have to give them credit because they stick by them. And a lot of people have told me that they don't want to miss a season when they finally hit that big season. They don't want to miss it, so they're going to keep their tickets just because they don't want to miss one of those large seasons. Would you do that? Would you keep your tickets, or would you just say the heck with them and give them up?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough call. I kind of like football, so I would keep them. I mean, if it was a sport that personally I wasn't, you know, I guess into, but if you're into the sport, you're going to keep them. And I think that's a good point. you want to be there when they have a great season.
Yeah, that's true. You really do. Hey, give us a call if you would like to win some tickets to Michigan State's basketball game coming up on Saturday. Give us a call at 884-4783. That's 884-4783, area code 517, for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State and Purdue coming up on Saturday. Once again, area code 517-884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to MSU basketball. So once again, give us a call and talk sports with us on that line and give yourself a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball. Once again, area code 517-884-4783. Let's go to the phones. We've got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Earl.
Hey, good afternoon, buddy.
Yeah, you giving the Lions fans credit, eh?
Yeah, happy to give them.
So you give them if I walk around the corner and get punched in the stomach for 16 Sundays in a row, you're gonna call me tough, or are you gonna say, you know what, maybe you ought to find another street corner to walk around?
I might say both.
And I understand you got a bit of perspective on me.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I don't admire those fans as nothing. Because they're damn fools. I mean, that's what they are. Because, let's be honest, you brought up, well, they feel that, when the chef finally comes in, believe me, they'll take your money whether you've been standing in line all, whether you were the first guy or the last guy.
That's true. They would.
The Detroit Lions, when they have their big parade and all those bars open up downtown, they're going to ask you to say, well, how long have you been a fan? How long have you had season tickets? They're going to take your money no matter how they can get it. So, I know a lot of people around here locally want to give Lions fans credit. I can't. I seriously can't. And I know some of my U of M Lions fans will say, well, you're a Spartan fan. Well, I can guarantee you two things. First of all, I was a part of Michigan State University. I have a shared experience. I had to pay for it.
Yeah.
But I went to that school. I'm very proud. I have a degree from a great university. And I wouldn't trade some of the things that happened to me. Both, more importantly, academically and socially and whatever, than I would anywhere else in the world. So therein lies a big difference. And again, the Lions, for 50-plus years, what have they given us, Earl? You tell me, what is one thing that they have given you?
Very few playoff appearances, we know that.
One playoff win. Do you understand that one playoff victory in the past 50 years. Understand what that is.
That's not good.
But understand, in the league that is set up, all the other leagues, they're going to tell you that, you know what, anybody has a chance, but they really don't, because they, in baseball, they don't have a salary cap. Now, certainly teams jump up and do well every once in a while.
Yeah.
But the NFL is set up for every team, for every dog to have its day in the sun.
Yeah.
And there's really only one team that's never had a chance to lay in the sun, and that's the Lions. And as long as you show up, and as long as you support them, and as long as you take money out of your pocket and put it into theirs, I don't know other way to look at it. And again, I can appreciate that there are a lot of people that see it your way, and they're not going away. I agree with you there. But there's a term for that, and that's called a sucker. And that's what they are.
Well, a lot of them wouldn't call themselves suckers, of course.
Because they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, they think they're loyal fans.
Well, like I said, those cash registers just keep ringing with loyal fans. You have a happy New Year, Earl.
Okay, you too, Tom. Bye bye. Hey, Aaron. We've got to give some tickets away, huh? We've got to give that away because it is Thursday, and we got to give some tickets away tomorrow. Then, don't we? Or do we give them away today?
But the game's on Saturday, correct?
Game's on Saturday.
Yeah, we got to give them away today.
Okay.
So we still got a couple minutes yet.
Well, we got a couple of minutes, so give us a call at 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783. We'll give away a pair of tickets to – actually, we'll give away two pair of tickets to the Michigan State-Purdue game coming up on Saturday. So you've got two pair of tickets to give away. So give us a call. Once again, the number to call to register to win tickets is area code 517-884-4783. So we've got two pair of tickets to give away. Good luck to whoever wins those tickets. Once again, 517-884-4783. 4783. You can call and register for a chance to win a pair of tickets. We've got two pair of tickets to give away for two lucky people who can win tickets to the game coming up on Saturday. Once again, 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783. We've got two pair of tickets to give away to Michigan State and Purdue coming up on Saturday. And boy, that's pretty good. I mean, either one will get, you get two pair of tickets. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, you get two pair of tickets to the game. So, hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us and give yourself a chance to win a pair of tickets. So we'll give them away and let's see. So let's give those away. So what do you got for us? Are you still writing down numbers? Okay, Aaron's still writing down numbers, and then we'll give away those pair of tickets coming up this afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR, and we're still taking numbers as. I got to admit, this is going to be a very good basketball season. All the teams are really tough in the Big Ten this year. There aren't any really gimmies this year. There are 10 really, or 12, we should say, good teams. We know Nebraska's not that strong. Penn State's not that strong. But the other 10 teams are really good. I don't think Tom will call me a sucker on that one. We've got 10 really good teams out of 12, and that's pretty good teams in the Big Ten this year. So 10 teams out of 12, that's very good. And if you like basketball, hey, I can't knock you or anything, because you're seeing some very, very good teams, and you'll see some good teams. We've got 10 good teams out of 12. So Aaron, I you got everything, and you ready to go?
Yep, we got two pairs, correct?
Yep, two pair.
All right, so Peggy from East Lansing and Annette from East Lansing are today's winners.
Well, congratulations, Peggy and Annette. And we'll tell you after, you get a call after the show goes off the air, and we'll tell you where to come to pick those tickets up at. So thank you and for winning, and that's very good. And boy, we got it done. I mean, we got it done in time for a change. We're not usually running around at the last second trying to find the tickets and everything, and I know where they're at, so I feel pretty good today.
Well, that's always a good thing, and that's good that they'll get their tickets, and everyone's a winner today. Yes, including us.
Yes, and us. That's right. And we'll be happy to give those tickets away, and we'll give you those numbers, and you'll call them up. And I'm quite sure you're going to have two excited ladies to go to the game coming up on Saturday. And I believe the kickoff is at noon. I think it's at noon or either 2 o'clock, one of those two games. Let me see. I've got the paper here, and we'll see what time that game will be. And I like the early games, I'll tell you that. Yes, that game is noon on Saturday. So that's great. I love the noon kickoff. We'll be done out of there by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. That'll be great. So we've got a noon kickoff coming up on Saturday. So that should be wonderful, and that should be nice for the fans who come to the game. So just give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We'll be back coming back your way on Monday, and we'll be looking to talk with you on anything going on in the world of sports. So make sure you come back and join us on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So thank you for calling, and thank you for coming in. And we want you to join us on Monday to talk all kinds of sports. You don't have to talk just football, baseball, or basketball, but whatever you'd like to talk about, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. We want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and come back and join us on Monday right here on WKAR. Thanks for calling, and we'll see you on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News in Washington.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.